You get your lab report. Maybe you're complaining. You've noticed that you're more tired, more foggy, you're losing hair, your nails are breaking, you're having bloating, all these different symptoms, or you're cold all the time, right? You're turning on the heater and everybody else is like, please turn it off. You might have an issue with your thyroid. But when those lab values come back with the TSH, T4, and T3, they often look normal. Here's the catch. Many people today have subclinical hypothyroidism, meaning it's under the radar.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Superwoman Wellness. I'm Dr. Taz. I've made it my mission throughout my career in integrative medicine to support women in restoring their health using a blend of Eastern medical wisdom with modern science. In this show, I will guide you through different practices to find your power type and fully embody the healthiest and most passionate version of you. I'm here for you, and I can't wait to get started.
Let's take a few minutes to talk about your thyroid. Hi there, I'm Dr. Taz, an integrative physician, and I've been working with patients for over 15 years in practice at Center Spring MD. And here's really what I want all of you to understand when it comes to your thyroid health. This is one of the most confusing organs, endocrine issues that men and women, even children, face today. The thyroid sits right here at the base of the neck. You should be able to feel it if you're just kind of moving your fingers down these two sides, and it should feel nice and firm, no big swelling, no lumps and bumps. But many times, people go on for years with a thyroid disorder, and they don't even know about it. You might have heard about Wendy Williams, where a viewer diagnosed her thyroid condition when they saw the swelling just through the TV screen. Why are we missing thyroid dysfunction? There's a lot of confusion around it. There's a lot of what's normal and what's not. But as we dive into this topic, I hope you're taking notes, because here's what I want you to learn. What is your normal for your thyroid function? Now, here's the debate, and here's sort of what's going on in the literature. The thyroid, as an endocrine organ, produces TSH, T4, T3. T3 is the most biologically active. It gives us energy. It really helps us with things like our temperature regulation, our weight, our mood, and so much more. However, if we can convert that T3 over into T4, well, we are in a state of hypothyroidism. But here's what happens in the exam room or with our lab, and I've been in this position too, so this is just a universal issue. You get your lab report, maybe you're complaining, you've noticed that you're more tired, more foggy, you're losing hair, your nails are breaking, you're having bloating, all these different symptoms, or you're cold all the time, right? You're turning on the heater and everybody else is like, please turn it off. You might have an issue with your thyroid. But when those lab values come back with the TSH, T4, and T3, they often look normal. Here's the catch. Many people today have subclinical hypothyroidism, meaning it's under the radar. Now, the technical definition is a higher TSH with a normal T4. So your TSH might be, you know, anywhere from 2 to up to 5, which is considered normal. And your T4 is also normal, but you're having symptoms. That's subclinical hypothyroidism, standard definition. I'm going to change that definition for us. True hypothyroidism, right, by the textbook, is anytime that TSH is over about 4 or so, and you're seeing lower numbers of your T4 and T3. So you can pull out your lab values right now, take a look at them, and see if that TSH is over about 4 or so, and if your T4s and T3s are dropping below, T4 below about 5, and T3 below about 2. Yes, you have hypothyroidism. The entire world would probably agree with that. But for all of you, myself included, with subclinical hypothyroidism, it's a little bit more complex. Oftentimes, your TSH may be quote-unquote normal, but you still have all the symptoms. And your T4 and T3 may just barely be low. So what do? What I have been doing in practice over and over again is helping my patients, whether it's super obvious hypothyroidism or it's just under the radar, helping them find their normal. So that means starting with a thyroid balancing plan before we have a medication conversation. Here's what that plan looks like. It begins with diet. The thyroid is intricately linked to how the rest of our hormones are working. So if we're chronically stressed, for example, or if we have HPA axis dysfunction, meaning we've disrupted the hypothalamus and the pituitary and all the signaling's off, or cortisol is super high, or you're even more advanced in your stage of adrenal fatigue where your cortisol is super low, then your thyroid is struggling to keep up. It's like the seesaw relationship. The harder the adrenals work, the harder the thyroid works. It's almost like a race to the bottom. Who's going to bottom out first? I talk a lot about adrenal fatigue in this particular video. Make sure you check it out to learn more. But let's get back to your thyroid. So a thyroid balancing plan is not just about the thyroid, right? That's kind of my point in sort of painting and talking about all these different loops. It's also about your adrenals, your estrogen, your progesterone, your sleep quality, your movement, and so much more. For example, we know that when estrogen and progesterone levels go down, there is more hypothyroidism. Not super obvious again, maybe of that subclinical category. Or when patients gain a lot of weight, that's another time that we'll see hypothyroidism. So we've got to put all these pieces together, and this is where we start. We're going to start with diet. One of the things we want to make sure when we're thinking about the thyroid is really nourishing it, right? Really watering it with the essential nutrients to help the body make its own thyroid hormone. So what does that mean? It means really thinking about foods with selenium, with zinc, with iodine, which are essential nutrients for optimal thyroid function. I'd probably add B and magnesium in there as well. In fact, remember that T3 to T4 conversion I just talked about that actually takes place in the gut? It needs these nutrients to be able to convert that super active T3 over into T4 so that the thyroid is happy. But if you're low in any of these nutrients, that simply doesn't happen. So how do we get them in? All right, let's take a look at some of my favorite foods for managing and balancing your thyroid. I'm going to tell you why. All right, let's start with some of the proteins here. First of all, you need a stable blood sugar to really help you balance your thyroid. So we need the protein. You can get it through some of these different sources here. But I've not only picked these foods because of protein. We have salmon, we have steak, we have eggs. I've also picked them because all three of these are high in things like zinc and iodine, which are really important for healthy thyroid function. So adding in some of these on a daily basis, or at least 3 or 4 times a week, is going to help and support your thyroid. Now, eggs, I think, are a superfood because in addition to iodine and a little bit of selenium, they actually also have a lot of zinc in them. And zinc is another one of those nutrients that are essential for healthy thyroid function. Other ways to get zinc include cashew nuts. You can also get zinc through pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds. So adding some of these foods in are super helpful. Selenium is the other one, right? So there is selenium in dairy. We have some selenium in beans. And even in Brazil nuts, just 3 a day, give you about 100 micrograms or so of selenium. Those are ways to get more selenium in your diet. So when you're trying to pick foods for a healthy thyroid, think through a couple of ideas. What's going to bring you iodine? What's going to bring you zinc? And what's going to bring you selenium? Those are the essentials. And in addition to that, making sure your B and your magnesium levels are optimized. Now, a lot of patients I meet are, and if you're on this journey, this might be you too, right? You are trying really hard to have that perfect diet, right? And first of all, let's just let go of perfection. It never works. But as a part of that perfect diet, right, you're eating salads all the time. So we might be seeing a lot of spinach in your diet, or we might be seeing a lot of kale in your diet. Now, kale is in the family of cruciferous vegetables that actually can be really hard on a thyroid. They affect iodine levels, for example, and can make it difficult to maintain healthy levels of thyroid hormone if you're eating them 2 and 3 times a day. So definitely you can have it 3 or 4 times a week, but it should not be over and over again in a given day. So it's not just kale, but remember it's broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage. Those are all part of this cruciferous family. Now, why in the world do I have spinach on here? I love spinach. So spinach is high in oxalates, and oxalates can sometimes be a little bit hard on the gut. So for all you salad eaters, if you're eating spinach and spinach salads multiple times a day, again, back off just a little bit, add in more food variety and diversity. That's going to make a difference for not just your thyroid, obviously, but for all the different hormones out there. And we have to talk about the elephant in the room too, right? The other thing that really wears down healthy thyroid function is gluten. Now, we've seen so many debates about gluten. Everybody hates when I talk about gluten or when I suggest going gluten-free, but follow me on the chemistry for just a second. Gluten, as it's processed today in this country and honestly across the globe, is made with something called bromide. Bromide is a mineral that displaces iodine. So even though gluten intolerance or celiac disease may not be your core issue, what gluten is doing today, because of the way it's manufactured, it's depleting iodine levels, and it's actually causing goiters and inflammation in general. So if you're having a thyroid issue or a subclinical hypothyroidism issue and you're suspicious of what your thyroid is doing in your overall health, then I would actually remove gluten as well. So let's run through it again to make sure you got it. Here's your summary sheet. Let's go gluten-free. Let's make sure you're getting protein at least every 4 hours to keep blood sugar and cortisol stable. Let's add in those high iodine, high B vitamin, high zinc, high selenium foods. These could be nuts and seeds, could be a little bit of dairy as well, even beans, lentils, great sources of all of those nutrients. And you might think I'm done. We got to talk about a couple more things. One of the things that wears thyroid function down very quickly, and I kind of alluded to this in the beginning, is sort of the role of cortisol and stress, is not getting a healthy night's sleep. So not being able to fall asleep and not being able to stay asleep is a worsening that cortisol dysfunction, which in turn is wearing down your thyroid. So really prioritizing sleep. What can you do to help you fall asleep, help you stay asleep? What's the issue? If you're having that 2 to 4 a.m. wake up, well, that's a cortisol issue. You're having that cortisol spike. Essentially, either your DHEA is low, your progesterone or testosterone are too low. That's why that cortisol is able to spike back up during those hours. And that really wears down on your thyroid. Or if you're having trouble falling asleep, it could just be stress, right? You've got a deadline, you've got a lot going on, you can't get your mind to rest. And so we need a strategy to help you calm down so you can fall asleep. Sleep is so critical. That's why I came up with my Sleep Savior. Sleep Savior has magnesium, melatonin, and magnolia bark. Magnesium and melatonin help you with falling asleep, while the magnolia bark and the magnesium help you with staying asleep. So the pillars of healthy thyroid function, no matter where you are on your thyroid numbers, include food first, managing stress, prioritizing sleep, and then understanding your trends and patterns. You want to follow your thyroid numbers through the years to understand what your normal is. My normal TSH needs to be between 1 and 2, and I found that that is true for the majority of my patients. However, there is a subset of patients for whom that's just too active. They actually feel better when their TSH is between 3 and 4. And for others, that 1 is too low, they feel better when their TSH is around 0.5, 0.6. Again, your numbers are you. They define you, they're your blueprint. So don't be fooled by the term, it's normal and there's nothing to do. In fact, before doing this video, I was reviewing the research, and again, it just bothers me, but it was saying that if you think you have subclinical hypothyroidism, it's a wait and see approach. Who wants to wait and see? When they're gaining weight, they feel miserable all the time, they can't focus. So be proactive, know you, know your numbers, and understand what your thyroid is doing. Because through the ages and stages of life, it's going to shift and change. But if you know where you feel good, it helps practitioners like me do the right thing for you.